The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to BGN Radio.
Why would you listen to any other Eagles podcast
with John Stolmus and Brandon Lee Gowell?
Welcome into BGN Radio. This is episode 75, brought to you by the fine folk at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I'm filling in for John Stolmus. I am your host today, Michael Kist. Here, joined with me, as always, to talk about all these training camp practices, is the man with the boots on the ground, the supreme leader of Bleeding Green Nation. He is Brandon Lee Gowton. Follow him on Twitter at Brandon Gowton, BLG. How you doing, brother?
Mike, glad to be back with you here. You know, it's been two preseason games. It's been 17, 18 something training camp practices. But today, Mike, it finally turned up a little bit. It got a little bit more interesting than it usually does at camp at this point, because like you've already seen the Eagles practice each other for a billion times by now. But the Ravens came to town on Monday, and it's exciting. Yeah, there's a lot of new faces, I feel like, or old faces you recognize that you see that kind of come out to these things. Like Trent Cole was at practice today. Seth Joyner was there. Mike Quake. Lurie came out to the field. Like a bunch of, you know, there's a presence, obviously, extra presence with all the guys in town, the Ravens. So that's cool to see. You get some more national media there. Shil Kapadia, friend of the podcast, Mr. National NFL guy now. He was there. So it's fun.
Yeah. And those reps today, like they might be the closest that the first team gets to real action throughout this process before the season starts. And it's against some, you know, unique challenges. The Ravens defense with these joint practices today is one of the best in the league. They ranked third in Football Outsiders DVOA last year. So it's a good challenge. And also on the offensive side of the ball for the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, he's entering his second year in an offense that will be more catered to his strengths, which includes his dynamic, you know, movement ability. So they're in pads, not tackling to the ground today, but like the first of two practices between the two. And I'll leave this pretty open for you. Like what was the feel compared to like a 10-10-10 practice as opposed to what we saw today?
Yeah. So a 10-10-10 practice, which is what the Eagles had on Sunday. Originally, they weren't even scheduled to have a practice open to the media, but the Eagles let us watch that because it didn't really make sense to cut that day off and then have Monday and Tuesday open. So that kind of practice is boring because it's usually they're shorter, just a little bit over an hour. The 10-10-10 part is like 10 plays are for the offense, like kind of on a script with the defense giving them certain looks that they want to see, not necessarily things that defense would actually run in like a real game or things that like Jim Schwartz actually really wants to do, just kind of more about like giving a look. And then it flips around, you know, for the defense. The offense doing some stuff they might not usually do. And then 10 minutes of special teams is that final 10. So that kind of practice is boring. And it's also kind of hard when you do training camp notes like I do, because, you know, you don't always know what like is forced or not. Like I saw Carson kind of like force a throw on Sunday that like it wasn't there at all, but he made that throw anyway. And I kind of wonder, okay, maybe that's just what he's supposed to do in that situation. There are some things you can see still. In case in point, Carson was making some real nice touch throws to some of his receivers around the field. So, you know, like, that's good to see. It's not like the defense is supposed to give those up, you know, like he's still making a good throw. You can tell that, but that kind of practice environment still is just not super exciting. Contrast that to the Ravens coming in to town, and all of a sudden now, you know, like you have the first team offense, the Eagles offense going up against the first team Ravens defense, and the Ravens were making it challenging for the Eagles early on. And same thing on the other end of the field, really, with the Eagles defense kind of giving the Ravens offense some trouble. Maybe that was also part of the offenses on both sides not looking like sharp and not like functioning at the highest level, and the defense kind of just being ahead of them made that look even worse for the offenses to start out. But yeah, there's so many things to watch. And then in addition to that too, especially in some of the 7-on-7 work, then you also have the offensive line and defensive line drills going on, which I couldn't honestly, like, I couldn't even get over there because I can't, like, there was three different fields and I can't see. I know I'm really tall, Mike, but I can't see everything always all at once. So, yeah. A lot of good action, though.
Yeah, and we'll get into more of those notes about the training camp there. But I do want to lead off the individual analysis, as we usually do with the quarterbacks. And BLG, you recently recorded the Josh McCown Emergency Podcast, heavily requested by the gentle listeners here at BGN. That dropped on Saturday after the news broke. So, gentle listener, if you haven't heard that yet, go back and give some attention from your earballs to that show. Some notes on McCown. I went back and looked at a couple of games of his from 2013. And he and Alshon Jeffrey, when they were with the Bears together, they just had a connection, man. He really trusted Alshon to go up and use his wingspan, his catch radius, and go up and get it. And Alshon did not let him down. One game I watched was against the Vikings where Alshon had 12 catches for 249 yards and two touchdowns. Then followed up against the Cowboys where he went up against current Eagle Orlando Scandrick, five catches for 84 yards and a touchdown in that one in a 45-28 win where McCown threw for four touchdowns and 348 yards. So that was an incredibly fun watch. And look, McCown, the one veteran name that I did mention when I talked about bringing in another quarterback after Sudfeld went down, and apparently the Eagles had interest in him before that too. And I think he's going to be a fantastic locker room guy, can really help Wentz as an 18-year vet. All of his old teammates, and I mean all of them, literally every single one of them, just absolutely love the guy. So as much as we joke and are hyperbolic in our approach to the news here, and look, at 40 years old, McCown might not have a ton left in the tank. I think all of us recognize this. But I put this up on Twitter today, and I thought it was interesting because I was curious to look at this. The last time McCown had significant playing time was 2017. He started 13 games. I compared the box score stats and some PFF analytics between him and Dak Prescott from 2017. And BLG, let me tell you, if I took the names out and you didn't know the stats offhand, you would be really hard-pressed to figure out which quarterback was which. And this goes into my argument that for all the box score stat tweets that, you know, shed a favorable light on Dak, they're all propped up by 1 year back in 2016, three seasons ago. And anytime I mention that Cowboys, you know, the Cowboys fans will groan about context and injuries and suspensions and all that. But honestly, try to make that same supporting cast argument with the 2017 Jets, because that doesn't hold much water in my eyes. That was a whole side tangent, BLG. Any follow-up from you on your thoughts on McCown and how did he look today as a new Eagle?
Well, first of all, Mike, I'm going to need you to tweet that out, what you just said, those stats. You need to do that thing people do on Twitter where they're like, player A, these stats, and then player B, these stats.
I did, BLG. It's on my timeline right now. I've got the comparisons up there, so you need to check that out because I didn't even know it was going to be like that. I came into this completely blind, and I was like, whoa, if you didn't know, there would be no way for you to know. It's crazy.
Well, I love that. So you get a raise, Mike. This is how it works here. You just, you know, say things that I like, and I just reward you for it. You don't actually get a raise. Oh, that's just a disclaimer. Anyway, sorry. With McCown, you know, I said it a lot and pretty much what I had to say in the podcast for the most part. I will emphasize again, like, the fumble thing concerns me a little bit. He has, like, what, like 88 in 99 career games or like 81. Like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And he had a bunch. I think he had 11 as recently as 2017 in that season he did start. So that's kind of an issue. We know Carson has those same kind of issues. So that's not amazing, but you know, he's a backup. You get it. I really did like going back, looking at his Jets highlights, I think more so too from 2017.
Yeah.
And I just like the way he throws the ball. Like, there's something about it. Like, he just, like, especially when he's, like, chucking it deep. And I was talking to Michael Nania from Gangrene Nation, our SB Nation Jets site. And he was saying, like, that was a real strength of his that year. Like, just chucking it deep. Like, he was just, like, no fear, throwing it down the field. Almost very Nate Sudfeldian of him to just, like, all right, single high, boom, just chucking it down the field. So I like to see that. But he hasn't really taken a ton of reps in practice so far. Obviously, Yomi signed on Saturday. Sunday was his first practice, and it was a shortened practice. Yomi really took some reps in 7-on-7, I believe. He got a little bit more mixed in today, and he did some 11-on-11 work. You know, this is a guy who is just coming in still. He's learning the system. Obviously, he has NFL experience, so it's a shorter learning curve for him than others, but, you know, he still needs to kind of get some reps in here. And really, Doug Peterson didn't even, like, fully commit to him playing on Thursday night in the preseason game. I think I would guess we will see him, but, you know, he's still learning is my point.
Yeah, I could see them setting up a script for him and, you know, one or two drives, and this is what you need to know right now, but this is a conversation that we were having having when the Eagles were maybe needing to bring in a quarterback. We were saying, who is going to come in here and learn this offense so quickly that they can be an effective backup for the time period in which we might need them, which is early on in the season? McCown gives you that as an 18-year vet. McCown could be probably, if Kellen Moore is an offensive coordinator, I really think McCown could be an offensive coordinator. So I have no issues with him being able to pick that up. He's going to need the mental reps first and then follow it up with some game time. But I don't think the knowledge of the system will be a problem ultimately for him. So maybe he does get some playing time on Thursday. We'll see. But BLG, you know I got to follow up with Wentz here. How'd the franchise quarterback perform over the past couple of days, and especially against the vaunted Ravens defense in joint practices today?
Definitely looked good on Sunday. I really liked specifically like these touch throws he was making. You know, that's something we've seen Carson kind of struggle with. Not like he can't make them at all, but just being inconsistent with that. And on Sunday, he had a nice touch pass to Josh Adams, who made an over-the-shoulder catch along the sideline. He had another one deep to Mac Hollins, who dropped it, unfortunately. He had another one throw to Aguilar, and also one to Deshaun, who also dropped it, which is a very rare sight to see Deshaun drop a pass. But still, like, Carson looked good on Sunday. And then today, he got off to not a great start, you know, working in the red zone. He was going for Alshon a lot, and it just, like, it wasn't clicking. Some of those, I feel like Alshon could have done a better job. Like, these were contested catches, and to his credit, Marlon Humphrey on the Ravens, you know, former first-round pick?
First-round pick, yeah. He's a very good corner, very underrated outside of Baltimore, I think.
Yeah, so he was making some plays, like, credit to him, too. He's a good player. But Carson did have some highlights as the practice started to go along. Throw of the day, the play of the day, I think for really both teams, and I was watching everything as much as I could, and I don't think I'm just being biased here, was Carson hitting Alshon Jeffrey deep, which is nice to see, because that's something, again, that they haven't always been clicking on. And Earl Thomas, sure enough, a name you might recognize, Eagles fans. I don't know how, but for some reason, that guy whose name rings a bell, the Eagles, or Carson completed a deep pass to Jeffrey with Thomas kind of getting beat there. So that was really nice to see. Carson, too, was looking a little bit better in the red zone drills by the end of practice, where he connected with the aforementioned Mac Hollins, who looked better today, actually made a couple contested catches, also broke out the floss a little bit for the fans. Like, you wanted to celebrate a little bit. So, nice. Nice to see Mac kind of feeling himself there and looking, you know, healthy again and being back in the swing of things. So overall, if I had to grade the practice to kind of give you some perspective, I would say, and especially the past 2 days, I would say we're at like a B+. More good than bad, again, but some things you still want to see cleaned up. Like, he did overthrow, I think, both Deshaun and Alshon on deep routes at different points. And that's just another thing, like, where, like, you just want to see the timing get there and the accuracy be there. I think one thing that Carson was doing well on Sunday with those touch passes I talked about was, like, floating him up there to where his receivers can run under them and make the play, as opposed to, you know, like, trying to force it, like, just force it down the field. So that's something I still think, like, can be afforded to be cleaned up going into the season.
I like that. And I like that Mac is breaking at the floss. Like, that's the moment. That's the moment when we know he's back, when he hits the floss. So it's good to have Mac back. And, you know, let's talk about some of the other playmakers, maybe under the umbrella of Clayton Thorson, who apparently had a better, is starting to look like he might eventually one day
like
be
Peyton Manning,
an NFL quarterback, or like Peyton Manning. Yeah.
Yeah. Clayton's looked a lot better, man. You know, we were really hard on him. Not me, obviously, just everyone else. but seriously, though, like, you know, so it's bizarre to me because, you know, he has that bad preseason game. He didn't really even look that great going into the second preseason game. Honestly, he barely practiced. He barely got any practice reps, which is interesting because then he took pretty much almost the entirety of the second preseason game reps. And then he comes back on Sunday in the Eagles 10-10 practice, and he makes, like, his best throw I've seen of all training camp or all offseason, even going back to the spring practices, where he just hits DeAndre Tompkins in stride on a deep bomb down the sideline. And Thorson has struggled a lot with, like, those wobbly passes on some of his deep attempts, even some not deep attempts, just, like, really throwing a wobbly ball. It does not look pretty at all. This was, like, a perfect crisp spiral. I was like, oh, my gosh, like, who is this? Like, who is this guy? So to see that was nice. And then today in the red zone, I thought he really excelled. He had two throws, back-to-back plays. One was a fade route to your boy, Mike, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Made a nice catch. But also the throw was just, like, perfect. He put it right up where JJ can kind of make that jump ball catch and the defender really can't. And he had another one to Mark and Michelle where Michelle was, like, just diving out of bounds. I'm pretty sure he got his feet in. So that looked like a good throw too, you know, only to where Michelle could get it. You know, it couldn't have been picked off or anything. So to see that from Clayton Thorson, for him to like make that progress, it seems like he's kind of building on, he's like stacking these practices now after that encouraging second preseason game, which is funny to me, Mike, because I still don't think he makes the team, right? Like, I don't think the Eagles are keeping four quarterbacks. So it's kind of, it's nice to see him look good. Like, that's ideal. But also, like, you know, you don't almost want him to look too good, because then, you know, you don't want him to get poached. So kind of a weird situation.
Yeah, but I do think it's good that he's looking better and he's throwing more catchable balls, because this is something that me and Solak were talking about. Like, JJ is really good in the air, and he's not getting the opportunities to like show off that skill set when guys are just like straight up missing him. So at least we'll be able to evaluate the wide receivers a little bit better in some of these preseason games if he's a little more accurate with his balls. So that's one plus that you can take out of it. I don't think he gets stolen off a practice squad or anything like that. So I think the Eagles will be safe putting him there at this point with McCown in the building. Sudfeld's going to recover. Kessler's there. What's the difference between Kessler and Thorson? I don't know, but it is something to track as we move throughout this process.
Didn't get himself knocked out of the game by not throwing the ball.
That's right. That blitz pickup that was entirely on Kessler. I'm not saying that jokingly either. I think we've talked about that here on the show here. A lot of people blame that on Dillard, but players, former NFL players, current players, and Doug have all said that that was not Andre Dillard's fault. He picked up the right guy. Kessler was hot. He had to know it. He had to get it out. He did not, and he got cracked for it, and it might cost him a roster spot when you think about it. But let's switch side over to the defensive side for the Eagles. The Ravens offense had some struggles in the red zone. Three straight red zone trips where they were denied by the Eagles defense. If there's one thing that this Schwartz defense does, it is clamp down inside the 20. Last year, playoffs included, they were number one in the league for touchdown frequency for offenses they were facing, which is shocking considering the injuries on that unit that they dealt with throughout the year. Who was out there making plays for the defense today, BLG?
So the defensive line, I think, deserves a lot of credit here. Every time I feel like I would look over on a Ravens rushing attempt, like, that was just going nowhere. That was getting like stuffed. And that's significant too. Like, the Ravens like to run the ball. They pride themselves on that. So that was nice to see, the defensive line being stout there in the red zone. I did see Rasul give up a touchdown on a slant to, I think, Willie Snead. I did see Sidney Jones, who I feel like hasn't, you know, been as great like as he was early on training camp, like the past two preseason games. And even in practice recently, he just like hasn't been, it's not like he's been necessarily terrible. Oh, he did have a bad practice last week. I know it's hard to believe, Mike, but he was better today. So that was nice to see. Like, he bounced back. He had two pass breakups. One was in the red zone. So that was good to see. Really, as a whole, I just think the defense like looked pretty solid. They did have one busted coverage that I saw where there was just like a Ravens receiver running down free, and Lamar just hit him. That was with the starters too. So that wasn't great. There was another play where Lamar just made a really nice throw, really threaded it into the defense. So buying some Lamar Jackson stock, I would say, like, not the craziest idea. He looked good today. He had some good moments where, you know, it wasn't just like the defense looking bad for the Eagles. It was just like him making some nice plays, not only as a passer, but his athleticism as well. Overall, though, I still think the Eagles defense, and really the Ravens defense, like, the defenses today as a whole, I think they probably won the day. Like, they had more good reps than the offenses did. We'll see if that's the same case tomorrow. Maybe offense start to figure things out a little bit after seeing these guys.
Yeah, and I want to recalibrate some of your thoughts on some of the positional battles for the Eagles defense and get some injury updates for you as well. I'm sure we have a ton of those to get to. We're going to get to those next here on BGN Radio right after the break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
And we are back here on BGN Radio, episode 75, brought to you by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. Michael Kist here with Brandon Lee Gauten, talking about the joint practice and the practice from Sunday as well from the Eagles, getting you all updated. BLG, I always ask you before the show, just like, get all your injury notes together, put them in one spot, put them in a backpack, do whatever you need to do. I'm thinking Rick and Morty now, but give me some updates on the injuries to, let's say, Brandon Brooks, Ronald Darby. You've already mentioned Matt Collins, maybe some Derek Barnett, Nigel Bradham, Richard Rodgers had an issue today. Just give me the full rundown like you're Doug at the podium. And I'll also note that there seemed to be a lack of water and or proper hydration today, maybe some heat exhaustion. What happened today with the injuries?
Just take a break for like 30 minutes, Mike, as I read through all of these meticulous injury notes that I have here.
Yeah,
it's a decent sized list. I'll start off with Brandon Brooks was supposed to potentially be reintegrated to team drills this week. Crazy. I guess he got checked out and wasn't fully cleared for that just yet.
Okay.
So he's not doing that just yet, but I think he is starting to do more kind of like one-on-one and individual work. So he is ramping up a little bit here. And I think this week here will kind of be key for him in terms of at some point he's going to get evaluated again, and it's going to be determined if he can rejoin those team drills. So maybe we'll be seeing that either like later soon or maybe next week. I don't know. Hopefully he's back sooner than later. Brandon Brooks still thinks he's going to be ready for week one.
Crazy.
The more it takes him to get back into the team drills, though, you know, the less optimistic that's looking. I still think it'll be, you know, like early. It could be week two or week three, but we'll see how that one goes. Ronald Darby is the other significant one, I would say, with him really returning to 11 on 11 for the first time on Sunday. And he was out there again doing some 11 on 11. Not like full time. Yeah, I don't think he's out there for every single defensive first team 11 on 11, but he is mixing in there. He is getting reps there. So that's probably looking good for him playing week one. And as far as who's been opposite of him, it seems like they're splitting with Rasul and Sydney on the outside. So it doesn't seem like they've, you know, landed on a starter there. And maybe that's something we see even in the regular season with them, kind of like we've talked about before, Mike, with like rotating guys. And you have Maddox in the slot. So he's there. Josh Sweat had a knee issue, which is not great. He missed practice on Sunday. He was back today, which is good. But, you know, like anytime, you know, you see Josh Sweat with like a knee thing, it's like, that's a little dicey, you know, because we know he has those knee issues in the past. So hopefully it's just like a blip on the radar and it's not anything too bad. Nigel Bradham, 7-on-7 for the first time this offseason on Sunday. So that's good to see. He's kind of working his way back in there. I'm guessing he'll be ready for week one. We'll see how that goes as well. Richard Rodgers is the big one from today in terms of like he had to be carted off the field after previously missing a couple weeks with a foot injury. That's not looking good for him, I would say, Mike. Like, that's not a great development for him. It seems like he was pretty frustrated too. And I saw that Tim McManus said like Doug gave him a hug as he was getting carted. So that doesn't seem like the best sign.
Hugs are bad in that situation, BLJ.
Hugs are bad. Well, they're good, but you know, they're bad. It's a bad sign. It's a good thing. It's a bad sign.
Yeah.
It's weird too, because like Rodgers had never been hurt prior to last year in terms of like he had never missed a game, but it seems like, you know, he joins the Eagles and all of a sudden like he's this injury prone guy. So that sucks for him. That could be really good news for Josh Perkins potentially making the roster. Hassan Ridgeway returned to practice. So that's good for him.
Nice.
I should note that Cody Kessler was practicing again today. The Eagles PR team said that he's not fully officially cleared through the concussion protocol just yet. Like, so
he could do certain things, but he can't do like contact things right now. I think in the stage that he's in.
Yes. Yeah. So like if there was a game today, he couldn't play. So I guess he might be cleared by Thursday, but we'll see. Nate Sudfeld apparently had his cast off today. Like, he got out of his hard cast. So that's some nice progress for him as he tries to come back and probably be the third quarterback with Josh McCown being the number two. That's just about it as far as I have on the injury front.
I have a follow-up question for you and some news with the Eagles as well. We'll just do some like regular house cleaning, and then I want a projection from you because I want to see the 53-man projection for linebacker. According to PFF, one of the top five graded players for the Eagles in preseason has been CFL stud Alex Singleton, ranking second only behind Deshaun Hall, who has had a massively productive preseason. So you got to think it's Bradham, Brown, Camu, Fort. In that fifth spot is the one up for grabs. Both me and Ben think the Nate Gary experiment should be over. Keyword should be over. The Eagles also released veteran linebacker Paul Worlow recently, which creates an opportunity for both Singleton and undrafted free agent TJ Edwards from Wisconsin. As a side note, the Eagles also signed linebacker Chris Worley. He went undrafted in 2018 despite getting significant playing time at all three linebacker spots at Ohio State. For the Bengals, he played in two games with only two combined tackles. He was cut in late July. Then he was picked up by the Seahawks briefly, subsequently cut a few days later. From my understanding, he's a super high character guy that lacks the athleticism to crack a rotation or even a roster spot outside of like a special teams player. So he's almost assuredly just a camp body. BLG, is 5 the right number to keep on the 53 for linebackers? And if so, who is the fifth linebacker if you had to call it right now?
I will leave you in suspense, Mike, as I finish up one more injury thing. I just wanted to say that Andre Dillard, notably, you know, left practice early today. Seemed to be, to me, by my eye, you know, I'm no medical expert here, but it seemed like heat exhaustion. Just didn't seem like he was feeling great. Same thing with Nate Erbig, who was really gassed in that preseason game. Ross Tucker was kind of like highlighting that on the broadcast. So just another small thing. And also Charles Johnson, day-to-day with an ankle. But to answer your linebacker
that's
question.
Such an Eagles thing to happen during this show right there.
It really is. I think it's pretty cut and dry in terms of the 5 they're going to keep. I think it's going to be Nigel Bradham. If he was healthy, you know, Kamu Grugier-Hill would be starting. And I don't think he's going to go on IR. So they'll put him on the 53, but obviously he might not be back till like, I don't know, week 4 or whatever.
Yeah, he won't be on the active 46 for game day for at least the first couple weeks.
So those are your two starters when they're healthy. LJ Fort, I would put Zach Brown above LJ Fort. Zach Brown's making this team. I'm pretty sure LJ Fort is going to make this team. Seems like a pretty obvious candidate just in terms of he has some experience. They can count on him in special teams.
Yeah.
And I think your fifth guy, well, depending how you want to order it, I think Nate Gary is going to make the team, much to the chagrin of many. I just think the coaching staff, like they really talk him up. And he's also gotten like a ton of first team reps. So it would just kind of be surprising if he just got like cast aside all of a sudden. I don't think Gary should be kept around. Like, I'm not a Gary fan by any means, but just in terms of like looking at what's realistic, I think he will be on the roster. And then when you're talking about like a TJ Edwards or a Singleton, I think either of those guys, I think at least one of those guys will be on the practice squad. I don't think you really have to worry about them clearing waivers. I don't think teams are like desperately trying to get those guys. Could be wrong, but I think we tend to always think like, oh man, this guy's looking good. He's definitely going to get claimed. And then like, it usually doesn't happen. People were saying that about like Braxton Miller last year when he got added to the practice squad. NBC Sports Philadelphia wrote like an article about like, oh man, like, you know, some team's going to sign him soon. And then Braxton Miller just got cut. When the Eagles signed Josh McCown.
You get into a like a local Philadelphia training camp bubble, right? Yes. And it's hard for you to see what's going on around the league and see, well, who would pick them up and why? And that's the big question.
Yeah. And look, like when these guys are getting claimed, like they have to be on the 53. So someone else is 50. So you're putting that guy like, and he might need to play potentially if you're putting him on the 53 and he doesn't know the playbook. So like, it's just that usually doesn't happen. It might happen sometimes. It definitely does happen sometimes. You lose like a Danny Amendola or a Greg Salas or whoever.
Nate Sudfeld.
Or Nate Sudfeld, whatever. But like, you know, a lot of the times it just doesn't. So I wouldn't worry about that too much. I think those are your 5 linebackers. I think that's who the Eagles are going to roll.
Let me ask the same question about running backs. And you can kind of add any notes from the practices about them in here if you want to. But you got to think that if the Eagles go 4 running backs, and I think that's the number, I think they will, that the 4th will have to add special teams value. And I'm not talking about just as a returner, but like on the other units as well, the punt coverage units and all that stuff. And the most proven out of the rest on special teams has got to be Corey Clement. In fact, I thought he was one of the best special teamers on the squad in 2017 and still played well in that area in 2018, despite his struggles. And compared to a guy like Wendell Smallwood, who is awful in that regard and not special otherwise, that's a huge edge for Clement, in my opinion. What about you?
Yeah, Corey's getting like first team reps. He was today. He was in the red zone on Sunday. And also, this is a very important thing. Everyone, Mike, yourself included, like, make sure you really listen to what I'm about to say. All right. So during Sunday's practice, why are you laughing, Mike? This isn't funny. It's super serious.
Right. Okay. Training camp is super serious.
Add a sound effect into this bit right here. And that's just to emphasize, you don't have to. I'm saying,
I'm going to do the Rick and Morty from the Vindicators episode. Oh, it's so serious.
Corey was doing like this choreographed handshake with Doug Peterson during practice on Sunday. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I don't think they're working on that if like Corey's just like easily going to get cut. So yeah. I don't think that's, and again, I've said like a billion times that I know for a fact that the Eagles were high on Corey heading into 2018. So it would just be weird to me, like all of a sudden he's going to get replaced. I know he hasn't been playing And maybe some of that is the Eagles like knowing he's going to make the team anyway, and they're just going to be extra cautious with him. But I think we might see him play this week. Like, he's really seems like he's kind of ramping up his workload in practice. It would be great to see him out there for a little bit and see what he can do. He looks healthy. He looks fast. I've said like multiple times before, he looks faster than I remember. So maybe that's something kind of he's been working on. Maybe he lost a little bit of weight or whatever. Like, he just looks a little bit more faster than I remember him being. So yeah, I think Corey is going to be on this team as your fourth running back. And you need to keep four running backs again because Darren Sproles, 36 years old, 9 games in the past 2 years. Like, you can't just go three and he's one of your three. And also Miles Sanders is like a rookie. You know, what if he just has rookie struggles? Like, you can't just like put all this pressure on him. The thing that concerns me, Mike, is I'm looking here, the screenshot I took of like this question and answer session on Reddit Eagles from Dave Spadaro, who I know a lot of people are like, oh, Dave Spadaro just says everything positive. He doesn't know anything, blah, blah. That's not true. Like, Dave knows things, and sometimes he like drops hints at things when he knows things. So that's what kind of makes me concerned when I see him say, and this is a quote here,
I already know where you're going with this.
Is interesting to watch. Wendell Smallwood, for example, has been really, really good. And I think he may very well make the team when most think he won't. I don't think Spuds is saying that and it's like, oh, he's just clueless. Yeah. And by the way, I totally disagree with him in terms of Smallwood has looked good. He looks exactly like you would expect from Wendell Smallwood. Like no more, no less. Just exactly what you would expect. Like, perfectly whatever. Perfectly replacement level player. Just a guy. So that's concerning to me, Mike. I feel like they're going to keep five. And I would hate that very much, especially because it's just like, this team has so much talent on the roster. Like, you don't need to be keeping five running backs. And you don't need to be keeping Wendell Smallwood, who's going to be a free agent after this year. I hope it doesn't happen, Mike.
You could claim a Wendell Smallwood at any point in the season from literally anywhere. That, I think that's my big issue with it. He is the, like, the definition of a replacement level backup. So why keep him specifically around? Like, how much does Deuce like this guy? That's what's wild to me. So we'll see how that plays out. Regarding the Clement thing, man, like, I was already thinking of the episode title, like, hugs are bad, handshakes are good, because I think that handshake, that special handshake, that's a sacred bond that you create right there. I agree with you. That's super serious. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. BLG, any other notes from the practice today before we kick rocks?
Ronald Darby did force a fumble during team drill, so that was good to see.
Nice.
Also saw Nelson Aguilar get the ball punched out to force an incompletion by, again, Humphrey. So that Humphrey guy, not too bad. I think that just about does it for the most part from what I see here. I would say if you're really looking for a deep dive of a note here, Matt Pryor, who I feel like kind of has having a horrible summer, but might make the team anyway. Notably on the first team field goal protect unit. Maybe that's something. Like, maybe that's a sign that he is in good standing. It is going to be interesting to see here. You know, we're getting into the heat of things in terms of like, okay, this is your third preseason game. Like, this is one of your last chances to really impress. And kind of, if you're one of those guys fighting for one of those last roster spots, really like make your case. I think Mac Hollins is going to make this team in that regard. You know, there's been kind of talk that he won't because you're seeing Greg Ward and Mark and Michelle make some plays. But, you know, with Mac starting to come on a little bit in practice, and him having a reputation for being a good special teams player, and he did look good on special teams, by the way, in the Jaguars game. He had two great reps, I felt like, on the punt coverage unit where, like, he got down and he affected the returner immediately. And that's important. Like, for as much as you might like Mark and Michelle, and I like Mark and Michelle, and I like Greg Ward, but those are guys I know you can get on the practice squad, or at least I'm pretty sure you can. And those are guys who aren't going to contribute the way Mac Hollins is in terms of special teams. Like, those guys are only going to play really on special teams. So that's kind of what matters for those bottom roster spots. So that's just something to keep in mind. One last injury note I guess I'll touch on is that I did see Strap at practice today. He was wearing a boot still on his right foot.
What about Jalen Mills? That makes me think, like, where is he in all this?
I still think he's going to be on PUP to begin the regular season, which means he would miss at least the first 6 games, and then he would be eligible to return week 7 at the very soonest. It doesn't mean he would be back by then. And I think, though, I was thinking about this too, Mike, because I saw him at practice, I guess, on Sunday, and I was thinking, like, it's a tough spot for Jalen because, you know, he's going to be a free agent after this year, so he's going to want to get back on the field as soon as he can, I feel like, you know, because he needs to, like, reclaim his role and, like, be able to, you know, do his best to kind of, you know, get playing time and be in a spot where he can try to make, you know, nice money in free agency next year. But if he's thinking about it maybe a little bit more, like, patiently and be like, okay, but I don't want to rush out and get on the field and not get healthy. And then I'm kind of struggling with injuries all year. And then I'm going to go into free agency and then my value is going to be really low. So maybe, you know, he's in a spot where like he thinks it could make sense to wait. And, you know, we're assuming that the Eagles defensive backs will look good when he's missing time, and maybe they will, and ideally they would, but let's say they don't, and all of a sudden like they're struggling and then Jalen's healthy, well then he's going to get his job back. So I think that's kind of where they're at with him. I think he's going to be on the PUP list to start the regular season.
Okay. And I think that does it for today. Remember, if you are not subscribed, hit that subscribe button on whatever app you're listening to this show on or wherever your favorite app is. Also, make sure you leave 5 stars would be great in Apple Podcasts. Leave a funny review. If we like it, we'll read it out on the show. Keep an eye out for the next set of shows coming this week here on BGN. There's going to be another QB SCO show kind of breaking down the performances from last week, looking ahead to this game ahead with Mark Schofield breaking down Josh McCown a little bit more in depth for us. So we'll get his perspective on that. We'll get a new Kiston Solak show where we'll partly talk about some of the upcoming preseason game and then also give a broader view on the Eagles as well. Of course, BGN Radio's all over the place, flying around this feed. Myself and John Stolness talking with BLG throughout the week as we move towards this third preseason game. So keep an eye out for all of that stuff. And remember, we all we got, we all we need. Fly, Eagles, fly.
BGN.